Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 35 through 40. Luke chapter 12. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you will see the passage that we're going to be discussing this morning. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 35. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Let your waist be girded, and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to learn to wait on you, to learn to be the kind of people of faith that can live the way you want us to as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts in a mighty way, that you would truly give us the grace to wait and to watch the way you want us to. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It says in verse 36, "And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master." You know, as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ this season, his birth on the earth, we also wait for his second coming. As we celebrate this Christmas season, we're going to celebrate his first coming. But all those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ are also in the process of waiting for his second coming. We celebrate his first coming with great joy, and we wait for that second coming that is about to come. Soon, as we look around our world, I believe his second coming will be soon. We are told in Colossians chapter 1 that we have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. That inheritance will be received by all who trust in him at his second coming. Jesus makes it clear that in this passage, that those who wait on him, will receive blessings from him. We like the idea of receiving blessings from the Lord. The problem is waiting. We like the idea of receiving blessings from the Lord. The problem is waiting. There was a parent of a young girl, and she was, she had some money. She just got a little paper out or something like that, and she had some money, and her dad was trying to teach her to save her money instead of just spending it. So he told her, "Look, if you bring your money to the bank and put it in a bank account, you'll get interest for that money. You'll get more money." So she went down to the bank, walked down to the bank, and the parents called ahead and said, "Look, our daughter's coming in to start a bank account. We'll come in later and fill out the paperwork necessary. But we want her to put some money in the bank." And the banker was delighted. And so the young girl came in, and the young girl put the money down and said, "I want to start a bank account, savings account." And the banker took the money and said, "That's great," set up the account. And after it was done, he said, okay, you're all set. And she just stood there, waiting, waiting, waiting. And the banker said, what are you waiting for? And she says, I'm waiting for you to give me my interest. We're like that, right? We want our interest now. We want it right now, right? And so that's how this young girl was, and I think sometimes that's our problem. We like the idea of getting blessings from God. We like that idea. And we're willing to, you know, invest in that idea. But we want it now. We want those blessings now. Well, you know what? A lot of blessings from God require us to wait. And so it's hard for us to want to just wait. And waiting is the most difficult part sometimes of being someone that's trusting in the Lord. The fact of the matter is that all of us are waiting on God to do something in our lives. The fact of the matter is that all of us are waiting on God to do something in our lives. Some are waiting on God to reveal Himself to them. That may be you today. You say, I think there is a God, I believe there is a God, but I don't know who He is. And so you're waiting on God to reveal Himself to you. Well, today's that day. Today is that day. He's going to reveal Himself to you. But some of you may be waiting on God to give you a spouse. Some of you may be waiting on God to give you a baby. Some of you may be waiting on God to give you direction for a career. Some are waiting on God to show them a ministry. Some are waiting on God to relieve the hurt in their heart. Some are waiting on God to help mend a broken relationship. Some are waiting on God to provide for a need. Some are waiting on God to heal them. Some are waiting on God to provide relief from a difficult problem. Some are waiting on God to take them to heaven. So as we think about our relationship with the Lord, we understand that waiting on Him is a part of our walk with Him. Waiting on God is a part of our walk with Him. Waiting for us is not easy, though, especially in the culture we live in today. We get upset if there are more than two people in front of us in line at Walmart. Or is that just me? Is that just me? Okay. All right. So we get upset, right? Oh, I can't believe I got so much to do, you know. I got kickoff at 1 o'clock and I got two people in front of me, you know, whatever it is, right? And we get upset. Our culture that we live in, especially in America, does not lend itself to waiting, does it? I mean, we don't want to wait for anything. And so when it comes to our relationship with Christ and we think about having to wait on God for things, it's not easy for us because it goes against all of the mindset that we have in our lives and in our culture. But I want you to understand something. Waiting on God is how we will be blessed by God. So the important thing for us to see here is, if that's the case, then how should we wait on God? How should we wait on God? And I believe this passage right here tells us just what we should do as we wait on God. So let's take a look at this passage and see how to wait on God. Look at verse 35 again. It says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. The first thing I want us to understand is we must wait on God with anticipation. We must wait on God with anticipation. Now, these verses make it clear that we should anticipate or expect that Jesus is going to fulfill his promises to us. We need to expect that Jesus is going to fulfill his promises to us. Jesus wants us to wait on him as though we know he is going to do his will in our lives. He wants us to wait on him as though we know he's going to do his will in our lives. His plan cannot be foiled. His plan cannot be foiled. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 offers a little insight into the plan of God, in particular to his first coming. Look at verse 4 of Galatians chapter 4. It says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." I want you to notice that first phrase, "But when the fullness of time had come." Now, there's a couple different connotations that we can draw from that phrase. But the one that I want you to understand here is this. His plan was going to happen. The plan for his first coming, the first coming of Jesus Christ, was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. It was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. And I want you to understand something. Every promise that Jesus Christ has made is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time before he fulfills his promise to you in your life. Before he does what he has promised to do for you. It's just a matter of time, and so you need to wait with anticipation. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And so, just as his first coming to earth was destined to happen, so will all the fulfillment of his promises to us happen as well, including his second coming. When you anticipate that Jesus will do what he has promised, you will be ready when it comes. Understand that. You've got to be ready. And the way you're ready is by anticipating or expecting his promises to be fulfilled. Gary Preston tells a story in his book, Character Forged from Conflict, that illustrates how we are to wait. He writes, "Back when the telegraph was the fastest means of long-distance communication, there was a story, perhaps apocryphal, about a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, noisy office. In the background, a telegraph clacked away. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. The young man completed his form and sat down with seven other waiting applicants. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. Why had this man been so bold? They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They took more than a little satisfaction in assuming the young man who went into the office would be reprimanded for his presumption and summarily disqualified for the job. Within a few minutes, the young man emerged from the inner office, escorted by the interviewer, who announced to the other applicants, 'Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man.' The other applicants began grumbling to each other. And then one spoke up. Wait a minute. I don't understand. He was the last one to come in. And we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. That's not fair. The employer responded, all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, so the job is his. The young man got the job because he was not just waiting. All the other men were waiting, but he was waiting with anticipation. You see the difference? He was waiting with anticipation, believing that he would get the job, that he could get the job. And I believe that's the way God wants us to wait. He wants us to wait with anticipation, knowing that he will fulfill his promises to us. Don't miss out on his blessings by not looking for them to come. You know, a lot of times we pray for stuff and we really don't believe it's going to happen. Don't be like that. Pray believing that God's going to fulfill his promises to you. And when it comes, you'll be ready to receive it. You know, I love this time of year for several reasons. One of them is because it's hunting season. And I love hunting. And one of the things that I enjoy doing the most is I like jump shooting for ducks. And what I do is I take Billy, and sometimes he sits in the front and I row. Most of the time that's what happens. And he shoots. And sometimes I shoot when we want to get some ducks. And no, just kidding. And he rows, okay? So one of the things that I told Billy, even just this week, I said, because what he'd be doing is, I'd be rowing down the river, and he'd put the gun up, and then he'd put it down. And he'd be putting it down, and he'd just be looking at the trees, the sky, and, you know, I'm like, Billy, let me tell you what happens. When you least expect the duck to come out, that's when the duck's going to come out. When you least expect it, as you're putting the gun down and looking it over this side or that side, boom, the thing comes out. It comes out from the side of the river and jumps right up, and you're like this, trying to shoot the duck. You can't do it, okay? And so he doesn't get the blessing of shooting the duck because he wasn't anticipating it coming out. That's the way it is with our relationship with the Lord. If we're not anticipating that God is going to bless us, then we'll miss it. We'll miss it. And that's what we need to see. So, let's wait with anticipation. Let's wait with anticipation. Because just when you don't expect to see the Lord bless you, he will want to. Okay, so, look at verse 38. It says, and if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Secondly, we must wait on God with patience. We must wait on God with patience. Now notice Jesus emphasizes that no matter how long, even to the second or the third watch, we should expect him to fulfill his promise. No matter how long, even to the second or third watch, we should expect him to fulfill his promise. Waiting patiently on God is extremely difficult, mostly because he does not operate on our timetable. I like everything to be done in a schedule. You know, I like to wake up at a certain time. I want to eat at a certain time. I want to do certain things at a certain time. I like to be like that. I like to be on a timetable. But God's timetable isn't usually what our timetable is. When I began to raise funds for this ministry here, and we were just getting started, we hadn't even come to Rhode Island to start the church, I had a timetable. Oh, man, I had a timetable. Oh, 5 years. Church is going to be built, paid for, running 200, and we were just going to, you know, we were probably going to be on our second church plant by then, okay? We're probably going to be mothering another one by then. I had a timetable. You know what God did to my timetable? He laughed at it. He laughed at that timetable, okay? But I'm thankful that his timetable is better than my timetable. But it's hard for us to wait. It really is because of that. You know, God, and Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9, he understood that we needed some comfort because of this. He understood that God's timetable is different than our timetable, and it's frustrating to us to wait on him. So what did he tell us? He said, remember, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So he's saying, look, you just don't understand time like God does. And we need to see that. God doesn't have to operate on our timetable. He can take as long as he wants to do whatever he wants. And he can do it in a shorter period of time as well. But the fact of the matter is, God's going to do things on a timetable that make us wait on him. Understand that. God is going to do things in our lives on his timetable, and his timetable is going to require us to wait on him. And that is going to require patience. Now, I want us to understand something about patience. Patience is an attribute that God wants us to develop. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Let's remember that patience is a trait that God wants us to develop, and it is the fruit of the Spirit, and that he wants every believer to possess patience. And so how does he help us become patient? He makes us wait. He makes us wait. And so this is a process that God puts us through so that our faith in him will increase. We talked about faith this morning in Sunday school. And because God wants us to have faith, and he wants to give us faith, and he wants to increase our faith, there's certain things that he does so that happens. One of those is he makes us wait. One of those is he makes us wait. As a matter of fact, the very hope we have in Jesus Christ requires patience. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We are in Romans this morning in Sunday school. Romans chapter 8 in verse 24. It says, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That word can be translated patience as well. So hope, our hope in Jesus Christ, requires us to be patient. It requires us to have patience. And so God develops this patience in us by making us wait. So failing to wait on God can get us out of God's will. You see, God's will for us is that we wait on His promises. But it requires patience. Now, if we don't have patience, if we fail to have patience with God as we wait on Him, we can get out of His will. This happened with the group called the Zealots. I don't know if any of you have studied the group called the Zealots, but the Zealots were around during the first coming of Jesus Christ. Prior to His first coming, just prior, these Zealots were looking for the Messiah, the promise of Him, to be a political leader that would free them from the bondage of the Roman Empire. And so they were looking for this guy, and every time a strong leader would rise up and speak against Rome, they would anoint this guy as their Messiah, and they would try and get behind him, and ultimately he would be crushed by Rome. And these Zealots got out of God's will for their lives and were making a mess of their lives because they weren't patient. They weren't waiting on the true Messiah to come. And so we need to see that. We need to see that we, through our impatience, can get out of God's will. Remember Abraham and Sarah. Remember what happened. They were promised a son. They were promised a son, but they grew impatient, didn't they? They grew impatient because they thought, well, God's waited too long. Sarah's not going to be able to get pregnant now. So what we need to do is have Hagar give us a son. And so they got out of God's will and had Hagar go into Abraham and have a son with him. And that was not God's will. They got out of God's will because they weren't patient. And we need to understand that God wants us to be patient when it comes to Him fulfilling His promises in our lives. A lot of us will say, well, I've waited long enough. How long do I have to wait? Remember, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. You know what? It may be a long time. It may not be until you die that He fulfills all His promises to you. But He will. He will. Remember, this life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It is a marathon. Gordon MacDonald writes about an experience in high school. He says, running track in my prep school days taught me a valuable lesson. I was at the Pennsylvania Relays, a famous Eastern track meet, and our relay team was going to run in the championship race. I was the leadoff man in the second lane. The man in the first lane held the 100-meter dash record for prep school runners. He also held a record for arrogance. When I got into the line and we were putting on our starting blocks and putting our starting blocks down, he said, "May the best man win. I'll be waiting for you at the finish line." We went into the blocks, the gun sounded, he took off, and the other 7 of us settled in behind him. We went around the first turn and down the backstretch. About 180 meters into the race, I suddenly saw the record holder in front of me holding his side, bent over, and groaning as he jogged along. We all passed him like he was standing still. Because I'm such a gentleman, I waited for him at the finish line. At the end of the race, my coach took me aside. He said, "I hope you've learned a lesson today. It makes little difference whether you hold the record for the 100-meter dash if the race is 400 meters long." And that's what we need to understand, folks. Our race lasts for years and years until God takes us. We want it to just be a 100-meter race, but our race is a 400-meter race. And so we've got to be patient and wait on the Lord to help us through this race. And that's what we need to see. It takes patience to wait on the Lord. It does. Waiting on God is a formula for Christians to grow spiritually. Not only will it develop patience, but it will develop the third thing that I think we need to have. And that is faithfulness. We must wait on God with faithfulness. We must wait on God with faithfulness. Jesus makes it clear that the faithful servant will be the one who receives the blessings from him. Look back at Luke chapter 12. Look back and look at verse 42. It says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season?" You see, Jesus puts a high price on faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful. Jesus makes it clear that the faithful servant will be the one who receives the blessings from him. You waiting on God. Now, waiting on God should develop the trait of patience, of faithfulness, as well as patience. Let me reiterate that. Waiting on God should develop the traits of faithfulness as well as patience in us. Waiting on God is a formula for Christian growth. And we need to see that. Do you want to grow spiritually? Do you want to grow as a Christian, as a person? Do you want to mature in your walk with the Lord? You better learn to wait. Waiting on God is a way to grow in the Lord. Henry Nguyen said this, "Waiting is a period of learning." Absolutely. Waiting is a period of learning. The longer we wait, the more we hear about him for whom we are waiting. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Romans 8:24 resonates with Nguyen. "Waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. During times of waiting, God is vibrantly at work within us." Understand that. When we're waiting, even as an expectant mother, you know, when she's just passed her due date, oh boy, those are rough days. Those are rough days. When I'm not talking about you, sweetheart. Okay? But because they want that baby out. And they are tired of waiting. They've waited 9 months. That's long enough. They're ready for it to be out. And they have to wait. But as they're waiting, they're growing, right? Hey, when we wait on God, we grow. When we wait on God, we grow. So are you being faithful to God? Are you being faithful to do what Jesus has asked you to do while you wait? You know, are you being faithful to pray? Are you being faithful to read your Bible? Are you being faithful to love others? Are you being faithful to attend church? Are you being faithful to give? Are you being faithful to live holy? These are all things that God wants us to be faithful in while we wait. He wants us to be faithful. And as a matter of fact, as we wait, we will develop even greater faithfulness. I get concerned about people that lack faithfulness in their walk with the Lord. Why? Because I know that faithfulness and waiting on God, trusting in the Lord, are totally connected. They're totally connected. And so we need to see that. We need to see that as we wait on God, we trust in God, It must be done with faithfulness. And if our faithfulness is lacking, then we need to see whether we're waiting on God the way we ought to. It's all tied together. So, let's remember that God wants us to wait on Him. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to wait on Him with anticipation. He wants us to wait on Him with patience. He wants us to wait on Him with faithfulness. The flying Rudellas were trapeze artists. They said there's a special relationship between the flyer, the one who's flying in the air, and the catcher on the trapeze. I imagine so. The flyer is the one who lets go, and the catcher is the one who catches. The flyer swings high above the crowd on the trapeze. The moment comes when he must let go. He arcs into the air. His job is to remain as still as possible and wait for the strong hands of the catcher to pluck him from the air. The flyer must never try to catch the catcher, but must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. You see, there's a lesson to be learned in that. We are the flyer. Jesus is the catcher. We must trust that He is going to catch us. We must not try and scramble to catch Him. But we must totally trust in Him to catch us. So we must do it with anticipation, believing that He's going to catch us. We must wait on Him to catch us and not try and grab for Him. And we must be faithful to do what we're supposed to do so that He can catch us. That's what we need to do as we wait on God. We must anticipate that He will catch us. We must be patient and allow Him to catch us. And we must be faithful to do what He asks us to do so He can catch us. Let's remember these things as we wait on God.